And then a voice that rang with silvery rage rolled through the air, kicking up a layer of dust from the ground in a broad wave in the wake of its passing as it rang out in an echoing clarion call.
Fulminatus!
There was a flash of green-white light so bright that it came to my reawakened senses as a physical pain, a roar of sound loud enough to drown out a spring break band. And the entire front wall of the first-floor hotel room we'd rented earlier that day was blown off the freaking building and into the street. I had my shield up overhead before the debris started raining down, protecting Murphy, me, the windshield of the Beetle, and the girl staring wide-eyed through it. I squinted through the flying bits of building and furniture and rock, and a second later managed to spot a broken human form lying with its head in the street, its feet still up on the curb. Priscilla's turtleneck was on fire, and her hair stood straight out and was blackened and burned off within 3 or 4 inches of her skull. She ripped the turtleneck away in a kind of wobbly, disoriented panic and revealed a bra and falsies. Those got ripped off too, and what was left, while slender and hairless, was also obviously the upper torso of a very pale, rather effeminate-looking man. There was motion in the gaping maw of ruin that had been Elaine's hotel room, and a woman appeared in it. She was dressed in the cheap plastic curtain that had been hanging over the tub. She had a thick linked chain wrapped tightly around her left arm a couple of inches above her bloodied, slashed wrist, tied in an improvised tourniquet. She was quite dry, and her hair floated out and around her head, crackling with little flashes of static electricity as she moved. She slid herself slowly, carefully across the debris-strewn floor, and she held a short length of carved wood that looked like nothing so much as an enormous thorn of some kind in her right hand, its sharp tip pointing at the man in the parking lot. Tiny slivers of green lightning danced around its tip, occasionally flickering out to touch upon nearby objects with snapping, popping sounds as she passed. Elaine kept that deadly little wand pointed at the Scavis, eyes narrowed, and said, her voice rough and raw,
"Who's useless now, bitch?"
I just stared at Elaine for a long minute. Then I traded a glance with Murphy, who looked just as startled and impressed as I felt. "Murph," I said, "I think I got through." The Scavis agent came to his feet and bounded at us, quick as thinking. I raised my staff and unleashed a burst of raw force. He might be strong as hell, but once off the ground, with nothing to push against, he was just mass times acceleration. The blow from the staff swatted him out of the air to the concrete not far from the Beetle. I immediately used another blow to throw him back across the parking lot, creating clear space around him. "Thank you, Harry," Elaine said, her rough voice prim. Then she lifted the wand and snapped,
"Fulminatus!"
There was another blinding flash of light, another crack of homemade thunder, and a green-white globe of light enclosed the vampire. There was a scream, and then his limp form fell to the concrete, one shoulder and most of his chest blackened. It smelled disturbingly like burned bacon. Elaine lifted her chin, eyes glittering. She lowered the wand, and as she did, the lights came back up to full strength. She nodded once, then she slipped and staggered to one side.
"Watch him!"
I barked to Molly, pointing at the fallen vampire. Murphy and I reached Elaine at about the same time, and we tried to catch her before she dropped. We succeeded in easing her down to the debris-littered concrete.
"Jesus," Murphy said. "Harry, she needs a hospital."
"They'll be watching the—"
"Fuck 'em," Murphy said, rising. "They can watch her through a wall of cops."
She stalked away, drawing out her phone. I bit my lip as Elaine looked up at me and smiled faintly. She spoke, her words faintly slurred.
"Damn it. Every time I come to Chicago, I've got to get rescued. Embarrassing as hell."
"At least it wasn't me that did the building this time," I said. She made a sound that might have been a laugh if she'd had more energy behind it.
"Bastard had me dead to rights. Snuck it up on me. I didn't realize."
"That's how the old psychic whammy works," I said quietly.
Once you start thinking, gee, maybe that isn't me thinking about suicide, it kind of falls apart.
Wouldn't have happened if you hadn't warned me, she said.
She met my eyes again.
Thank you, Harry.
I smiled at her and checked her wrist.
This doesn't look good. We're gonna get you to a doctor, okay?
She shook her head.
The upstairs room. Abby, Olivia, the others. Make sure they're all right.
I doubt they've lost as much blood as you have, I said. Murphy, though, was way ahead of me and was already on the stairs on the way up to the second level, then down to check the room.
Okay, time to wrap this up.
I picked Elaine up. I made sure the shower curtain didn't fall off.
Come on, you can sit in the car until the EMTs get here. Maybe I can find something else to keep your arm tied off, huh?
If you can find my purse, she said, her eyes closed now, a little smile on her mouth, you can use my golden lariat.
I turned to the car just as the horn started frantically beeping. I whirled. The Scavis agent was moving again. He got his knees underneath him.
Damn it,
I said, and rushed the car. I got the passenger door open and dumped Elaine inside, even as the Scavis rose to his feet.
Murphy!
Murphy called something I didn't hear very well. The Scavis turned toward me, his face all contorted with burns on one side, twisted up into a hideous grimace. Murphy's gun began barking in a steady, deliberate shooting rhythm. Sparks flew up from the concrete near his feet. At least one shot hit the Scavis, making his upper body jerk. I rose, blasting rod in hand.